see over the crowd, so he climbed up a tree. And Zacchaeus, when Jesus got to the spot, see, Jesus understand faith before you even realize it. See, when Jesus got to the spot where Zacchaeus was, Jesus said, Zacchaeus, come down. Zacchaeus hadn't talked to Jesus. But God recognizes faith without you even saying a word. Zacchaeus said, I want to see him, but I didn't heard about this man. I want to see him. When Zacchaeus heard and when Jesus got to the tree, he said, come down. This day, salvation is going to be in your house. What did Zacchaeus, listen to what Zacchaeus did. Zacchaeus says, Jesus, all that I've taken unrighteously, I'll give it back. Yeah. Jesus didn't ask him to do that. Yeah. But when you have an experience with God, you can't go home the same way. When God go to change in your life and doing something for you on the inside, it's something that changes on the inside. You are not the same old individual. Something about you changed. 2 Corinthians 5:17 said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is, listen to that word, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. He is. Somebody say he is. So church, being just a church member, is not good enough. Just going to church is not enough. You need salvation. You need to believe that God is able to give me life eternal. You must believe that he's able to cause me to want to love my brother that hate me. He's able to put something on the inside of me that will carry me through this life. He's able to put joy where there wasn't any joy. They're able to put peace where there wasn't any peace. He's able to do something down on the inside of me that causes me to want to run on when things get tough. He's able to do that. Just going to church and shaking the preacher's hand or making a confession is just not enough. That's fine. That's a good start, but that's not enough. You need an experience. You need a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You need something on the inside that'll speak to you. You need something on the inside that'll talk to you. You need something on the inside that'll deal with you when you get off base and you realize. I was saying to them on Wednesday night that you gotta, there's gotta be something. The Holy Spirit has to be in you. When he's in you, he makes all the difference. When he's in you, listen at this. When the Holy Spirit is in you, when you receive Jesus as the Lord of your life and the Holy Spirit is on the inside, you can't act like you used to act. You can't sin like you used to sin. I didn't say you wasn't going to sin. I said you can't sin like you used to sin. No, well, let me leave that. That ain't holiness preaching. But y'all know what I mean. See, you can't sin like you used to sin. When you used to sin, it didn't bother you. Cuss folks out and dare them to say, but now look at me, strange. Nah, y'all been holy all y'all lives, and I don't want y'all. But sorry, I got a few folks in here that wasn't real holy and deep, and, you know, they came up in church, and they didn't get nothing in church, so, you know, when they got out, they really told folks what they mean, you know. But when you have an experience, even though you were raised in church, but when you really have meet the Lord, and you do folks in and do them bad, you don't have peace. No, glory to God. Now, I need somebody to help me now. I need a witness now. I'm not saying you can't do folks bad, and you will sometimes, because sometimes you just have a bad day, and sometimes the devil just tip you beyond your limitation and look like you just nobody, look like nothing is going to work, and that day you want to take the stove and throw at folks. Y'all see the commercial where they're throwing the washing machine out the house? Sometimes the devil gets you on your trail so that you just want to throw everything out. Anybody in here? Don't raise your hand. But I want you to know that God is still there. The Spirit of God in you will convict you even if you done done it all. He'll bring conviction in you and say, that wasn't right. That's when you know that there is something on the inside. See, you got to recognize that the Spirit of the Lord is on the inside. There is something on the inside that not letting me do the things that I would do. Let me do the things that I want to do. Not let me do the things that are destructive unto me. The Spirit of the Lord is in me. he says, without faith. So my faith in God says he can forgive me. My faith in God says I can come back to him. My faith in God says he'll never leave me nor will he forsake. My faith in God says, whoo, I can come to him. I've messed up God, but I can come to him. My faith says his hand is still stretched out. Jesus is so good. Say, now listen to Jesus. When Peter was out there on the water, when Peter denied him three times, Jesus said, the rooster's going to crow. And Peter did what? What did Peter do? Peter said, and he went and hid himself, went and run away. But all of a sudden, he began to break down and cry. And when the day of Pentecost come, here come the man to preach the first message after all of that he done. He done denied the Christ three times. He done rejected him. He done denied it. And did he give the authority to preach the first Pentecostal message? Oh, glory. Tell me about God. God is a forgiving God. When there's something on the inside. See, it takes faith to please God. It takes faith to believe that God can forgive me. The enemy comes in and he try to keep you down low and keep you down and just keep you crushed down and keep you down, keep you so that you can't call on God. But my faith says, oh, I might be down, but I'm coming up out of here. You might count me out, but God is still on my side. You might put an X on my name, but God is there and say, yep, it can't be erased out. So Hebrews said, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. See, if you don't believe God, you can't please God. If you don't believe him, then there is no hope for you. If you don't believe him, there is no way out of the mess that you're in. Let's look at, so church being just a church member, being just religious is not enough. Look at James chapter 1, verse 6 and 8. James chapter 1. Just flip the Bible just a few verses in there. And look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1, okay, verse 6. Listen at this. He says,
say it one more time, God is good.
We thank you for tuning in to the Telling of His Goodness broadcast. We pray you were inspired, blessed, and encouraged from hearing the Word of God today. If you would like a copy of my book, Telling of His Goodness, you may phone me at 318-305-6965. You may like me on Facebook, connect with me on Google+ or Twitter. May God bless you until we meet again at the same time next week.
Oh, he's a wonder in my
ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI. Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I've
How excellent is thy name
in all the earth. But you give God a hand of praise for that reality today. How excellent is thy name. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you afresh now for this wonderful opportunity to hear your word. Lord, minister to us, speak to our hearts, reach us underneath the skin where the reality of our existence is. Show us what you want us to see. Speak to us in an intimate and clear fashion that we can't mistake what you're saying to us. And Lord, bless us as we hear and heed your principles. And gracious God, our Father, we'll be ever so careful to give you all praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. Bless him one more time, if you don't mind. Bless him, bless him, bless him, bless him. Come on, bless him, bless him. You might not feel like it, but he's worthy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. From a familiar passage of scripture, I want to lift just one verse to begin our message this morning, found in Psalms number 34 and 1. Psalms number 34 and 1. And the psalmist says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word, to the hearers and the doers of his divine will. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, I'm not too proud to praise. I'm not too proud to praise. I need you to hear what King David is saying. I think it would be helpful in our personal worship. I think it would be helpful in our public worship. I think it would be great as witnesses of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I think it will benefit us when we thank God for his goodness, but then when things don't go our way, I think it is encouraging to us to know that God is worthy of our praise at all times. One of the first things I want you to notice about the text is that David is dealing with his personal attitude or his personal volition, his own will. His praise is not predicated on what other people think. His praise is not attuned to the atmospheric conditions. His praise is not yielded because others think he ought to lift his hands, open up his mouth, or clap, or stomp his feet. His praise is from an inward reality and a connectivity with the Creator of all things. David says, I will bless the Lord. At when? At all times. First of all, he's saying this with a conviction and a commitment. The conviction comes first because, my brothers and sisters, one of the things you're going to have to note in life is that life doesn't always go your way. Every day is not always sunny, and things are not always happy, and you're not, contrary to what some folk think, you're not always on top, and you're not always the winner. Sometimes you're going to be down and out. Sometimes you're going to be sick and tired. Sometimes the enemy is going to appear to be winning. Sometimes you're going to find that you, as a child of God, do get depressed and oppressed by the enemy, but you got to shake it off and remember to whom you belong. That there are times when things just don't go right. That there are times people that you trusted proved that they weren't trustworthy. That you'll find out there are times you had folk to tell you, listen, if you need somebody to talk to, you can count on me. I won't tell anybody. And for it's all over, you'll heard everything you shared from the deepest secrets of your heart. It's important to realize David has gone through some stuff. Somebody say, gone through some stuff. Now, when you've gone through some stuff, you'll learn how to get your attitude right. You'll learn how to put your focus on the right person and take your problems to the one who can really do something about them. And David says from conviction, I will bless the Lord. Listen, not just when things are good. He wasn't a wishy-washy worshiper like so many of us are. He wasn't a praiseful, thankful person when God answered his prayers and things were going his way like some of us are. He didn't show up in the house of the Lord when he was winning and all was well with him only. But he declares, I will bless the Lord at all times. When I'm up, when I'm down, when I'm happy, when I'm sad, when I'm right, when I'm wrong, when it's good, when it's bad, when it's hot and it's cold. All times, in every condition and situation of my life. It takes a conviction. Because I see some of you on Sunday mornings, you won't even speak to God, let alone praise him. Then you roll your eyes at others who are praising him around you. Like, you better keep that praise to yourself. I wish you would hit my hat. I wish you would stomp my feet. Grunting, rolling their eyes, looking like something stank, nothing but their attitude does. But they're on the Lord's side. Lord don't need folk like that on his side. You do more for the enemy's side than you do for God. Folk come here hurting, looking for help, looking for inspiration. You sitting up there like a sourpuss. No joy in your heart. No light in your eyes. No pep in your step. No love in your heart. For God nor man. And you want folk to think God's been good to you? Oh, he has been, because the word says he blesses the just and the unjust. So he has been good, but it wouldn't be told if they had to look at your face. At all times, he's convicted that God should be blessed. What this says to the believer is, listen, there are no special times to praise God. Any time is a good time. Any time and every time is a good time to praise the Lord. Now listen, now, here's the commitment now. He has the conviction. Listen, he says his praise shall continually be in my mouth. I'm going to bless him. I'm going to praise him. Bless him means to speak well of him, to say good things about him, to talk him up. To praise him is to give thanks and glory for those things that he's done and his worthwhileness. It's important to understand that God loves the praise of his people. He inhabits, he gets inside of your praise when you know how to praise him right. Don't sit here and act like you don't like praise. Because the moment somebody don't acknowledge you and recognize you and pat you on your back and tell you you did good and don't do all that to you, you get your little feelings hurt. And if it's somebody even in your own household, if they don't praise you quick enough, how did I do? Well, did I do all right? You're seeking your praise. God loves the praise of the people he has blessed. See, those are the people who have a right and a privilege to praise God. But listen at this. David's commitment was to praise him all the time. So there is conviction and commitment in verse 1. But verse 2 deals with something else. It deals with communion and communication. I'm not talking about the Lord's Supper communion. I'm talking about communing. I'm talking about intimate fellowship with him. I'm talking about one-on-one with him. I'm talking about making time for him. I'm talking about setting aside the time to enter into his presence with him. I'm talking about making him feel worthy in your life that you have assigned time to spend with God because he's that worthy to you. He says, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. Now, David is not talking about the things he has accomplished. He's not talking about the things he has acquired. He's not talking about the things that he has done or the things he's doing. He's not making his boast in his strength or his might or his intellect. He's not making his boast in his conquest. He's not making his boast in anything that has to do with him and what he's able to do or accomplish. His soul makes her boast, listen at this, in the Lord. In other words, the greatest thing that he finds joy in, the greatest thing that he has pride in, the thing that he has lifted up above all other things in his life is that he belongs to the Lord. That the Lord is a part of his life. That he is who he is because of God. My brothers and sisters, when your soul makes her boast in the Lord, can I tell you, there's nothing else that can compare with that. That's how God likes to be put up on the top shelf, where nothing else can compare with him. His soul makes her boast in the Lord. Not in his wife, not in his children, not in his family, not in his kingdom, not in anything here on earth, but in the Lord. And his soul, listen, communes with God. You see, one of the ways you get to feel like God, feel like that about God, is when you spend time with him. How many, I know this is going to blow you away, but I got to tell you. The only way you get to really know God is to spend time with him. Some of you been with him on the journey for 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years, and you don't know him. You don't know his spirit. You don't know his word. You don't know his will. You don't know his way. You don't know how to access him. You don't know how to go in. You don't know how to come out. I know it's getting quiet because I'm talking to you. And because you don't know him, you don't know how to be intimate with him. You don't know what he likes. You don't really know what he does not like other than the Ten Commandments. You don't know what he likes from you because you hadn't spent enough time with him to know that. If you spend enough time with him, he'll tell you. You don't know when he show up. Lord, are you here? Spend enough time with him and you'll know the moment you're in his presence and you'll know the moment you're out of his presence. You will sense the very essence of God when you get to know him. You'll be able to tell when you've grieved him in the spirit, and you'll be able to feel the unctioning of the spirit. You'll be able to know the difference between imagination and revelation. When you spend time with God, he is able to unfold mysteries and show you things you've never seen, heard, or known before. When you commune with him, now listen to this, when you commune with him, when you love the Lord and spend that time with him, listen to what happens. The rest of the verse says, the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Why shall the humble hear thereof and be glad? I'm glad you asked. Because the soul said, I wasn't going to tell nobody. But I, thank you, Reverend Foster, help me here. Couldn't keep it to myself. When you make your boast in the Lord, what starts on the inside shows up on the outside. You start off praising him inwardly in your heart, in your mind, in your thoughts. But before you know it, it starts coming out your mouth. And before you know it, what you were saying in private comes out so loud that it winds up entering into the public. And the praise you said you wasn't going to tell anybody about, God has you speaking it so freely till it flows, and you're not too proud to praise him. Why is it that the people he blessed the most want to sit on his praise? Act like they got what they got on their own. Act like they are who they are on their own. Act like every door opened up, they opened it up. Every way made, they made it. They act like God didn't do anything to help them to ascend to their lofty places. And with all God's done for them, they sit up like they're in judgment on God. But look at what the king said. Look at what the psalmist says. The humble. I don't want to rush past that because it's important to know who he's talking about. The humble are those who are less fortunate than those who are prospered and blessed. The humble is referenced here as the lowly and the common. It's referenced to those who are infirmed and hurt. The humble references those who are lacking what abundance others have. The humble are those who are in a low estate. And so the humble shall hear thereof. And the Bible says, they're going to be glad. Because here's what the